It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, August 15th. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson. If you are ready for a break from the actual Olympics, and TV ratings suggest that you are, there's another high-level sporting event starting in Rio today, depending on what you consider a sport. The E-Games, a two-day pop-up video game competition, will feature teams from the U.S., Great Britain, Canada, and Brazil competing for gaming glory and national pride. Marketplace's Rima Kreis has that story.
That's the sound of Super Smash Bros., the video game that will test the skills of some of the world's top players in Rio this week. Chester King is the CEO of the International E-Games Group.
There's some fantastic benefits, you know, life skills and cyber skills by playing these games. I think at the moment, still kind of not validated or accepted.
King is out to create an Olympics-like event for esports. No cash prizes, just medals, national pride, and bragging rights. By some estimates, there are more than 150 million esports fans across the globe.
Esports is really growing at an exponential rate.
Jason Lake is head of Complexity Gaming. He says most players are young, unplugged from traditional media, and hard to reach.
Esports is a goldmine when it comes to marketers, and we're starting to see that with large brands like Coca-Cola and Intel and Nissan and others.
E-games could tap into that goldmine post-Rio. Bigger tournaments are planned alongside future Olympics in South Korea and Tokyo. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
All the E-games action will be streaming live on Twitch. It's unclear whether much will change at the Huffington Post now that its founder and namesake, Arianna Huffington, is moving on. Huffington said last week that she's leaving to start a new site focused on health and wellness. And although she downplayed it, it's possibly also because HuffPo owner Verizon just bought Yahoo, which makes a lot of the same kinds of content and adds a whole other big-name CEO to the mix. But what we do know is that HuffPo, which started in 2005, had a profound impact on digital journalism. Its combination of click-grabbing content, content aggregation, and its cost-saving tactics of not paying its bloggers much, if anything, made it one of the most popular news sites in the country. It also made a lot of other news sites want to emulate it. Joining me now with more is Susan McGregor. She's with the Tau Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia. Susan, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I want to ask you about the impact of the Huffington Post and how did it change kind of what we value in journalism?
I like to think of it as, you know, it's hard to think of digital journalism today without aggregation. It's like thinking about the internet without search engines. You know, one of the things that happened with the internet was just an explosion of the amount of information that people could access. And, you know, it was time consuming to try and go get it all for yourself. So aggregators did play in a really important role. And I think that Huffington Post being kind of on the forefront of that really highlighted that trend and the value in what it had to offer for readers and news audiences.
And do you think it affected, even if it was only short term, the online journalism business model?
I think it did. It made news outlets feel like they had to kind of cover everything. And I think we do still see the effects of that today. So, you know, where a news organization had, you know, sort of the audience that they understood and their coverage area that they did well, it sort of raised the promise of, well, if we can cover everything through aggregation, then we can increase our audience, increase our revenue. Obviously, at a time when journalism was really, you know, struggling for answers when it came to business models, I think ultimately we are seeing a return from that.
So you think that could be part of sort of the decline? It feels like the Huffington Post is not doing as well.
You know, one of the issues with the Huffington Post is that, you know, their success in a way was a product of both the moment and the technology. So, you know, this was a time when all we were measuring when we were looking for ad revenues or even just trying to understand audience online was page views. And, you know, page views are an artifact of the technology of the internet itself, right? We don't measure page views because it's what we as journalists believe is important to know about how our audience is behaving or because it's an accurate signifier of how much value our work has. It's because that's what was available. And I do think that we are going to see a swing back towards what we think of maybe as more traditional journalism.
So you think that will be the next big shift?
I do, actually.
More magazines.
More magazines. Well, print. I mean, print. Probably not print. I mean, you know, my feeling is that if you ask me what I think journalism is going to look like 10 years from now, I think it's going to look a lot the way that it did 20 years ago. The platforms and the formats will be different, of course. But, you know, I think when it comes to what people are looking for from the news media, what they want out of journalism, understanding the bigger picture, you know, is absolutely going to be the core role of journalism in the coming years. As I think arguably, you know, it has been for many decades before this.
Susan McGregor is with the Tau Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you so much.
If there are Pokemon, they will come. And it turns out they'll travel pretty far. The latest cottage industry to spring out of the Pokemon Go popularity is Pokemon Go travel tours. The Street reported last week on how the tourism industry is hoping to catch, get it, the attention of game players with specialized tours, meetups, even custom international trips like a $2,500 and up luxury family tour to Australia and New Zealand, all to hunt for Pokemon. We called Jill Pope. She works in tourism for Visit Cheyenne in Wyoming.
Well, you know, all of a sudden one day Pokemon was everywhere you look. And so we thought, well, you know, this certainly fits into a tourism theme. So how can we take advantage of that? And we decided to try and see how many Pokemons were on our normal trolley tours.
There were over 40, as it happens. So the Tourism Bureau created special trolley tours to catch them. No historical information about Cheyenne on those tours, just Pokemon hunting. Pope told our producer, Stephanie Hughes, it's a hit.
You know, we had four drive up from Denver, which is about 100 miles.
You had four people just for the Pokemon tour?
Just for the Pokemon tour, yeah.
Now, there are lots of locals that take this tour as well, and Pope says it's fine that they're taking the Pokemon tour and not the historical route.
There are so many people that may even walk or drive the same route every day in every city and not really notice a lot of things that the Pokemon game is bringing to their attention.
So go ahead and read that plaque after you've caught the Squirtle, of course. Marketplace Tech was produced today from the Reveal Studios at the Center for Investigative Reporting. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.